I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. So, and you can even use your device, right, to find your Bible app and open that up. But I want us to look together at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 this morning. As soon as I hear everybody stop rustling, I'll think you're there. And when you're there, I'll tell you that.
What was the first?
1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. So right after Romans. I don't know that. Mac, is this coming back up? 1 second. Well, that loads back up. Since you're all there anyway, let's go ahead and jump in. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting at verse 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be holy, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, in all your speaking and in all your knowledge, because our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly await for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will keep you strong to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful. This is God's word for us this morning. Are you ready, church? Are you excited? Because I'm not seeing the excitement on your faces. Are you glad to be here? Are you prepared? Are you ready this morning? I want us to pray before we go any further. So let's just pray for a moment. Mighty God, you are the everlasting, faithful, merciful, and righteous one. And in your wisdom and by your grace, You've chosen and called us into faith, and you beckon us on a journey of trust and of dependence upon you. Father, this morning, would you prepare us? Would you give us willing hearts that are filled with your Holy Spirit, that are eager to experience all that you have in store for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We prayed and the PowerPoint's working. So it was back at the end of January, Pastor Larry began a series on discovering God's character with us. And he started asking the question, can we really know God? Can we know him? And so together we began to examine the attributes of God and the ways in which he reveals what he is like and why and how he does what he does. And last week, Pastor Larry also shared that he was officially done with this series. And that was kind of like a preacher saying, I'm coming to the end. Because today I want us to just dive in. I want to share one more important thing about God in this series. And I want us to grasp onto this last attribute that we're going to look at. And it's this: God is faithful. God is faithful. Now, understanding God's faithfulness is significant because it's so essential and inherent to understanding the whole of God's character. In the passage that we read just a moment ago, I want you to pay particular attention to verse 9. It's up there on the screen. God, who has called you into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful. I want you to hold on to that passage. I don't know if you want to write it down, if you want to underline it in your Bible, whether you take a picture of it with your phone, I don't know. But hold on to it because it's going to be significant this morning. God is faithful because it's who He is. And at the root of the word faithfulness is the word faith. Faith is at the root of that word faithfulness. Faith, and in a spiritual sense of that word, it means being full of faith. And it's the same word that Jesus used when He spoke to Thomas. When He told Thomas, I want you to put your fingers in my hand. I want you to put your hand in my side. And then He said to him, do not be unbelieving, but believing. Be confidently filled with faith. And the writer of Hebrews gives us a definition of faith from God's perspective. Hebrews chapter 11, it says, faith is the confident assurance that what we hope for is going to happen. And it's the evidence of the things that we can't see. And then He goes on to give us a kind of a by faith roll call of heroes of the faith. It says, by faith, Abel offered a better sacrifice than Cain. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life and he would not have to experience death. By faith, Abraham, when called to go, he went. And by faith, he believed God would give him a son, and he was even prepared to sacrifice his son Isaac. And by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. And by faith, Moses' parents hid him because they were confident that God had something extraordinary in mind for him. And by faith, Moses led the Israelites out of slavery. And by faith, he led them through the Red Sea. And it was by faith that the walls of Jericho fell down. And the list goes on and on. But I want you to get this. God's faithfulness was inscribed on their lives. His faithfulness was inscribed on their lives, and they learned to trust God even in the smallest details of their journey. And they experienced God as they held confidently onto Him, full of faith that God was working on their behalf in every step of their journey. Now, if you've never read their life stories, you absolutely should, because you realize that their life wasn't smooth. It wasn't easy. They didn't always trust God maybe the way that they should, but as God revealed Himself to them, they gained more confidence in Him. But I want to ask you this morning, where in your life do you see God's faithfulness inscribed? Where's God's faithfulness inscribed upon your life? Can you look back and bring those memories out? Can people see that inscribed on your life? Now, a couple of weeks ago, I went to visit with Duke Rayburn at his house. Duke's here somewhere. Where's he at? I can't see him. He's in the backpack. No, he's in the back now. But I went to visit Duke at his house. Of course, when I got there, Duke wasn't at his house. And I had to go looking for him. In fact, I had to call Mim so she can give me some hints of where I might find him. And so I finally found him over at the farm in the equipment barn, and he was in there with his friend Royce, and they were working on some stuff. And he told me, we're just getting some stuff ready to go to auction. I'm going to auction off this equipment because I'm done with it. And I don't need it anymore. And then he said, why don't we go sit in my truck and talk for a little bit? And we all know Duke loves his truck, and it's a nice truck. So we got in the truck and we drove down a little bit to where we were sitting. We were kind of looking out over his farm. And he began kind of to share the history of his farm and kind of the story of his life. And he was sharing about his late wife, Trudy, and their life together. But after each story, he would tell me, you know, God's been so good to me. And he would say, I thank him every day because I need him every day. And he was talking about the time when he broke his neck. And he said, you know, God's been so good to me. And we sat there for about an hour. And he would keep telling me stories. And I would ask him about the farm. And he must have told me no less than 10 times, you know, God has really been good to me. And I left there filled with the reality that God is faithful. And I could see it inscribed on Duke's life. And God's faithfulness is at the core of his nature. And it's because God is faithful that the character of God is always at work, all of them, to their fullest capacity. Think about it. When does God's love fail? Never. Because he's faithful. When is God maybe just a little bit less than holy? Never. Because his character is pure and he's always faithful to who he is and what he says. He's always all-knowing. He's always all-powerful, ever-present, holy, righteous, merciful, and loving because he's faithful. And for Duke, like so many of you, God's faithfulness is new every morning. And faith thrives. Our faith thrives and it produces fruit when we put our trust in an absolutely faithful God. And the scriptures tell us that it's to the Father's glory that we should bear much fruit. But here's the other thing I want you to understand about God's faithfulness. It's unconditional. It's unconditional. It's so much a part of him. It's so inherently rooted in his very being that he can't be unfaithful to anyone, even to those who doubt the reality of God, because God's faithfulness is not affected by anyone's lack of faith. In fact, Paul writes in Romans, what if some did not have faith? Will their lack of faith nullify God's faithfulness? Not at all. Let God be true and every man a liar. Now, some of you may have heard me share this story or part of this story or maybe even Susan has shared this story with you. But I want to be a little bit vulnerable with you this morning. This is going to be hard. Susan and I were engaged when she became pregnant with Amanda. We weren't married. I was 19. Susan was just out of college. We had no idea what we were doing. I wasn't saved. I believed in God. But I had not put my faith in Christ. And that wasn't going to happen for a couple years. And we weren't living obedient to God. And after one of Susan's checkups with the obstetrician, she got a voicemail at work. There was a message from the doctor. So there's a problem with the pregnancy. And at this point, we already knew that we were having a little girl, and Susan had already chosen her name. And the doctor told us that her blood work showed some significant concerns. The baby, the doctor told us, would likely have some significant developmental issues, potentially severe spina bifida and Down syndrome. And there was a substantial risk that she was going to be premature and likely would not survive. Doctor said, I want you to come in. I want you to have an amniocentesis to, you know, kind of further confirm our suspicions of what's going on. But then they said that we should consider terminating the pregnancy. We were devastated. And that evening when we talked, and in my unsaved attitude, I just wanted to punch the doctor in the face. Who leaves a voicemail like that? But as we talked, we knew that we weren't going to abort this baby. And both of us had just kind of this strange calm about us. We were going to trust God. Regardless of whatever happened, God was in control. And it was a strange kind of peace and almost a confidence. And we told the doctor, actually, I think I told the doctor, we're not going forward with the amniocentesis. And of course, the doctor protested, and we stood firm. And Susan told the doctor, listen, we're trusting God with the life of our baby. And no matter what happens, God is in control. Now you're probably wondering, how could I, unsaved, without a relationship with Jesus, trust God in those moments? And the answer is, I don't know. But God is faithful. Now, you all know Amanda is perfectly fine. there wasn't any more issues with the pregnancy. She was born full term and healthy. But what if it hadn't happened that way? What if it hadn't happened that way? What if? To be honest, I don't know. I don't know. But God is faithful. And God's faithfulness is not affected by anyone's lack of faith. Paul told Timothy, if we are unfaithful, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny who he is. And you've probably heard people say this or say to someone else that God didn't heal their loved one, or God didn't heal them because they didn't have enough faith, or they had some type of unconfessed sin. You know what I'm talking about. You've probably heard this. You've probably seen it. I've seen it on Facebook, man. And I'll tell you what, it makes me angry because it's not true. God's character is not transactional. There's no way we can put God in a position of owing us anything. God can't be manipulated any more than he can deny himself. In fact, it's just a lie. It's the same accusation that Satan leveled against Job. And it's straight from the pit of hell, and it smells like smoke. God's desire for us is not that we would try to manipulate him. God's desire for us is that we would encounter Him and that we would exercise our faith in such a way that we would experience His capabilities. We would experience His character and His faithfulness. And people will say this a lot too. God never gives us more than we can handle. If you've heard that, raise your hand. God never gives us more than we can handle. And I think, you know, there's an element to truth to that. But it might be more accurate to think about it this way. God does indeed call us beyond ourselves. He calls us beyond ourselves, but He never calls us beyond the capacity of Himself. If He never gave us anything more than we can handle, we'd never learn to be dependent on Him. God wants us to reflect His faithfulness on earth. He's the example, and we're the ambassadors. And God so wants His faithfulness inscribed upon our lives. And as we exercise our faith, even in the smallest details, our trust in God, who is the faithful one, increases. And at the same time, He proves to be faithful in our lives, and our trust begins to grow stronger. Now, I want you to go way back to January and see if you remember this truth from the beginning of the series. Because God is a personal spirit, I will seek intimate fellowship with Him. Because God is a personal spirit, I will seek intimate fellowship with Him. Intimate fellowship with God increases as we increasingly experience His faithfulness. Now, I told you to hold on to a verse when we started. It is this. God, who has called you into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful. And it's God's faithfulness that enables us to live a life of joy and fruitfulness. But too often, and we walk around like we're spiritually anemic. There's a story told about a woman named Sally, whose husband had died several years before. And when he died, she believed he only left enough money to pay off the mortgage for the house. So she paid off the house. But now the house was falling apart. The car had been junked because she couldn't afford to fix it. And when she couldn't afford the electric anymore, it was shut off. So she got by with a camping stove and some candles. And she lived this way for years. It's kind of destitute, lonely, feeling defeated. And one day an old friend from her childhood came to visit her. And they hadn't connected with each other in years. And her friend decided to stay for a little while and encourage her and help her fix up and clean up the house a little bit. And one day when they were cleaning out the desk, in the filing cabinet, her friend found a little folder. And on the folder, it just said, "For Sally." And inside the folder was a bank savings deposit book and a safety key, or a safety deposit box key. So they went to the bank, and when she opened the box, she discovered that there was $32,000 in cash in the safety deposit box. And also inside of that box was a pile of stock certificates and three folders full of rare coins. And Sally realized that she was worth $883,000. By the way, honey, there's no safety deposit box. She's worth $883,000, but she's been living in despair for years. And although God has promised us strength and help and all of it, all the strength and all the help we will ever need, many of us just try to go at it alone. And sadly, we live our lives in our own self-imposed spiritual poverty, walking around like God has somehow abandoned us. Yet the whole time, God has given us the key to living a spirit-filled life. And He gives us access to all that God wants to provide for us. Now, nowhere does God promise in His Word to prevent problems from coming into our lives, or He doesn't promise to keep our lives free from snags and troubles and difficulties, but He does promise that He'll go through them with us. He promises to be present in our suffering, in life's trying circumstances. And He promises that He'll walk by our side. And as we learn to rely on God's faithfulness and promises in His Word, He proves Himself faithful. I want you to listen to Paul's words again. He says, "Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly await for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will also keep you firm to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, who has called you into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful." God has called us into fellowship with His Son. And in that act of calling, He also committed Himself to our future. Last week, Pastor Larry asked, "What is God saying to you today? What is he speaking to you about? Is He speaking to you?" And this morning I want to ask you, what can you trust God for today that you couldn't trust Him for yesterday? What can you trust God for today that you were unable to trust Him for yesterday? Maybe there's an area of your life where fear of failure is preventing you from moving forward. Or which of your relationships is in danger? And you're wondering, who cares? What task or what obstacle is in front of you and you're facing, you feel like it's just too difficult? What is it in your life that you're just having a real difficult time putting it in God's hands? Will you trust Him? God said, "Will you trust me?" Have you put your faith in Jesus Christ? That might be the place to start. Maybe you're struggling with some sin. Scripture says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Maybe you're struggling with some area of obedience to God. Have you asked Him to help you? We're going to have the worship team is going to come. We're going to sing. And then we're going to move into a time of prayer. We're going to pray with one another. Brian Brown is going to come with his family. We're going to anoint him for his surgery that's coming up. And if you'd like to be prayed for this morning, I invite you to come as well. And if there's something that you're struggling with, trusting God with, come and lay it in His hands. You can do that this morning. We want to pray with you. We want to encourage you. Nothing is more encouraging to me than to see God's faithfulness inscribed on the lives of His people. And in a world where unfaithfulness is so common and seems to be in style, God's faithfulness reminds us that He cares, that He loves us, that He so desires for us to know who He is and experience what He can and will do in our lives. So we're going to sing together, then we're going to pray.